has it.
Thompson, pretty good defender.
Shot clock running down. Murray's falling away, and he knocks it in.
Jokic got a 16-footer. That's good.
Now Murray's got a lane. In the lane. Scoop it up and in. Jamal Murray. Now 10 points with that last bucket. Murray lets it go. Good again!
Gordon. Give it to Jokic.
And Jokic slams it through.
Now Jokic into the lane. Got another hook shot. That's good.
And right to Gordon. Long pass. Jokic is out there. And it up and in. And a foul.
Murray. Tough shot.
Got it! Now Murray. Got a little shot there and puts it in.
Nuggets by three.
Murray. Got it again.
That was a big one. That was a big one last night for the Denver Nuggets. 113-107. Nuggets take down the Milwaukee Bucks on a night where, Angel, they went 4 of 18 from the three-point line. But keep in mind this interesting little nugget. Milwaukee, I just like to say it. I don't know why. This is one of the best offenses around. And I mean, I'm telling you, this is the kind of win where, okay, the Philadelphia win I didn't feel wonderful about because, you know, two of your guys are gone, two of the Sixers guys aren't playing, and we'll get into the Joel Embiid thing, but this was Milwaukee. They're averaging 124 points per game. That's second in the NBA, and you hold them to 107. So and they have all their guys out there. This was a nice win that tells you where the Nuggets can really be. And I get it, it's at home. They protect their home. But you get that top spot, which they are now in second place in the Western Conference. You're going to be going for that home court advantage throughout. But what a night it was. There were so many high points in this game. Got to start with Jamal Murray. 35 points for him. 5 assists. You heard the montage there. Congratulations to Marlowe, too. Chris Marlowe, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year. I mean, Marlowe, we've had him on the show a couple of times. Met him a couple of times in person. And, I've always been a big fan of Marlowe. So, great call there again by him. And Jamal Murray was outstanding. 35 points. I mean, we were just talking about it yesterday, Angel. When he gets in that mode, Nuggets can't lose because Joker's going to be with his triple-double thing. And can you get somebody else to play some defense? And they were. This team is almost unbeatable when Joker's at his... This isn't even his best, 25-16-12. But you would say that's like his... That's his normal. That's his average almost. Not quite, but close. But if Murray's going to give you 30-plus, you're not going to lose a lot of basketball games.
No, you know Murray's on when he's going at the lane, doing these wild layup shots, or he's taking consistent mid-range jumpers that are just
the
perfect.
Confidence. Like, I've always said this about Jamal. Even when he was a rookie, he always had confidence. But when he starts seeing that ball go in, it's almost like another switch goes off for him, and he starts realizing his real talent because he can now make shots that are just absolute crazy. He's on the move. He's on the go. Step back jumpers, underneath layups, reverse layups. He just gets into that mode where I think a game like last night, and I know this is high praise and it's crazy, but he looks like Kobe Bryant. On his best night, he looks like Kobe Bryant.
No, I mean, this is one of his better months of his, you know, the last few years we've seen him. He's been, you know, he's got to be averaging over 25 points a game the last couple of weeks now, and you could feel that he is that the two-man game with him and Jokic is really starting to get back into that you know form that we've been used to, and I think that's just them getting ready for playoffs. Like,
yeah,
start finding it.
He's in that mode. He's getting in that mode early. He's tired of hearing people like me say that there's just this playoff Murray and then regular season Murray's just a guy. He's tired of it. I would be too. Only one way to solve that riddle. 35 points last night. He had 23 against Philly. 9 against the Knicks, bad night for everybody. 31 against the Pacers, 19 against the Wizards, 35 against Boston. So you're right, this January has been really good. He had 37 against Detroit, a lot of 25s in there. His average was like at 19.5, now it's at 21.4. Mm-hmm. So when you start to have those games, and I want to see him in that 24-25 range. That's All-Star numbers. he starts doing things like that, those are all-star numbers. So Jamal Murray was exceptional last night, and this was a significant win for many reasons. You beat a marquee opponent who is playing. They're not phoning it in. Giannis is going at it, full steam ahead.
Well, how many of us thought when they made the trade for Lillard, like, that's like they are almost a mirror image when you look at Giannis, Damian, and then Portis as well.
Yeah, that two-man game, when they really get into that two-man game, it's a lot like what Joker and Jamal do. It's slower. Jamal is probably quicker than Damian Lillard, but obviously Giannis is quicker than Nikola Jokic, so maybe it kind of balances out. But that is, Giannis is so dangerous at the rim. He can get to that rim with relative ease, but they contained it. Giannis had 29 points, 12 boards, 6 of 11 from the free throw line, and I want to talk about that. And Damian Lillard with 18 points. And that's the thing. Like, some of these marquee teams, these upper-level teams, if two of their guys are going, they're going to be tough to beat. If Damian has 30 in this game and Giannis is at 29, that's tough. That's why they're averaging 124 points a game. But the Nuggets found a way, man. And how about Peyton Watson? Peyton Watson, 6 points. I mean, offensively, we're not talking about it much. But he came up with some key blocks. He had a very nice stop against Giannis. Game's out of hand. It's 113 to 107 still at that point, I believe. Maybe it was 111. Giannis is trying to drive in to try to make it a little bit closer, make it a three-point game. And Peyton plays defense on him, does not shy away. You get the travel call on Giannis because he gets kind of lost in his footing there. That was an excellent play by a young guy that is clearly not intimidated in what we would consider a critical moment in a basketball game.
No, plus 14 off the bench for him with 23 minutes. Only shot the ball 4 times, but you really appreciate his defense. His length on the defensive end is very, very impressive for a young guy that can use that to his strength. Even blocking a shot at the three-point line and then getting a nice assist to Porter down the court.
Yeah.
You like to see it from a young guy like that.
Yeah, nice game for him. Congratulations, though, to Michael Malone. Head coach gets his 400th win as a Nugget head coach.
You know, you put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
33 more wins will pass up Doug Moe. So he can get a good chunk of that this year. I mean, he's not going to get it this year, but he'll get to, I mean, what are we thinking, 55 wins for this team?
Sure.
Okay, so the next year you just got to win like 10 games or so. So Michael Malone will pass up Doug Moe. He's already got the championship. I think this is an easy debate, and again, so much respect for Doug Moe and George Karl, but Michael Malone stands alone. He is the best coach to ever do this for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to when they hired him from Sacramento. Mm. How much I liked that hire at that time. And, you know, you have expectations, but then you bring in the team that he's built, the culture that he has created with them. They love Michael Malone. Jokic loves him, Michael Malone.
Murray does, too. I mean, yeah, your guys love Malone. So when he was with Sacramento, that was his first head coaching job. He went 28-54. Okay? It's not, I mean, his first year with Denver, he went 33-49. Not much better. The very next year, You start the season, Boogie Cousins gets like mono or he gets sick or something, so he's out for like, and that's when he's still playing at a prime level. Mm-hmm. So he's out for a considerable amount of time to start the season. They're 11-13. 11-13 without their best player. And he was fired. He was fired at 11-13. And then he was off for the rest of the year. He took over for the Nuggets the following year in the 2015 season, and they were 33-49, missed the playoffs. Next year, 7-game improve, 40-42, still missed the playoffs. The following year, he's got his first over 500 record season, 46-36. They missed the playoffs by 1 game, and it was that Minnesota game. They had to beat Minnesota to get in. Minnesota wins. So his first 3 seasons, every year was an improve, but he missed the playoffs. Then after that, 54-28, 46-27, 47-25, 48-34, and then 53-29 to win a championship. All of those, not losing a lot. You know, I think he only lost in the first round once. And that was the year before the, that was when Murray was out and Porter was out. His first year in the playoffs, they made it to the, that was the conference semifinals. Made it to the conference semifinals. They lost there.
Was that the Portland series?
That was, I believe so, because they beat the Spurs in seven, and then they took Portland to seven, but Portland got them. The next year they lost in the conference finals. Who did they beat? Who did they beat that year? That is, I'm struggling with that one. Wow, that was a blur year. That was a blur year. That was the 46-27 year, and I thought they beat Portland in a series there, didn't they? Or was it the next year they beat Portland? But either way,
yes. Yeah, so Spurs Trailblazers. They beat the Jazz in seven.
Okay,
and then beat the. Oh, that was the bubble year.
The bubble year was the Jazz in seven and the Clippers in seven. Yes. The two comebacks down 3-1, 3-1,
and then the next year. Was they beat Portland in six and then got swept by the Suns.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Suns in four.
And then it was like those two
I had
years
it backwards.
Without Murray and Porter, and then that 2021 season, they lost to the Warriors in the first round and then won a championship the next year.
Which was awful timing because Murray's out, Porter's out, and you catch Golden State when they're like on the up. They're moving up, and you lost to them there. Didn't Golden State go on to win that year? That was their last title. So I had it reversed. His second trip to the playoffs, Michael Malone's second trip to the playoffs, was the COVID year. And they went to the conference finals. And that's where they lost to the Lakers. But then the problem with George Karl was that he couldn't get past the first round. He made it to the Western Conference Finals once, but outside of that, never missed the playoffs, but couldn't get past the first. Here you have Malone, who is now, with this upcoming year, they're going to make the playoffs. What are they at right now? They're at 30-something?
33 and 15.
They're going to make the playoffs. So now you look at Michael Malone, he spent more time in the playoffs than not at this stage. So I look back, and I know Sacramento's getting back on their feet here, but what a terrible example of what not to do. I mean, you darn sure don't fire rookie coach by year, right? It's a by year unless it's Doc Rivers. That was a rookie head coach. And he was 28-54. The next year, you gave him 24 games in that first year, and you were basically 500 without your superstar, and you fire him. Thanks to Sacramento. Thanks for that. But Malone is, I like his demeanor. I like how he is on the sidelines. He always looks like he just needs a drink all the time because he's stressed out of his mind. But he's playing defense on the sidelines. If it comes down to that situational defense, I loved how he was at the parade. I like a little sass in there, man. I like a little dynasty chant. And, you know, the way he talks about, we're so confident Bruce was coming back. And then when he wasn't, he's like, What was your best memory with Bruce Brown, or your worst memory maybe? And it was like when he told me he was leaving. Or no, what do you remember most about Bruce Brown? Mm-hmm. And he said when he told me he was leaving. I mean, he's candid, he's honest, he's caring. And this isn't a show. Like, he's not sucking up to Nikola Jokic. He's not paying him. He goes out to Serbia, he goes out to Sombor with his family amongst the horses and gives Joker his first MVP title. I mean, That's a loving dude. The Jamal Murray story is great. Whether you're a diehard fan of Jamal or you want Luka or whatever you want, the way Malone handled that when Jamal was hurt and out for the season and likely going to be out again, Jamal sad, almost in tears, basically saying, "Hey, I'm damaged goods. You guys are going to move on from me." And Malone's like, "Not over my dead, over my dead body. We'll do that," and he believed that. And there was serious consideration. We learned later that the Nuggets had some people very interested in making a significant trade. Don't know what that was, but a significant trade to get Jamal Murray and then basically give the Nuggets back another point guard. So Malone fights that. I don't know how hard of a fight it was, but they believe in him. So he fought it. They listened to him, and the rest is history. Jamal stayed on, and once they got everybody back fully healthy, they won a title. So those kind of games are great. You continue to see this, though, Angel. And this is what I really love about, when there's success because you're winning championships. But what are we seeing? Constant record breaking by the Nuggets. And Joker's breaking a record all the time. Now you got Malone hitting a milestone. Maybe it's not a record yet, but hitting a milestone. And he's going to pass Doug Moe. I mean, at some point in the next year, this time next year, he'll probably have passed that. Unless just something falls out the bottom there.
Oh, it's... We are witnessing peak Nuggets right now.
That game was big for me, just as a fan, to see that, because my confidence was growing watching that game. Because, again, the Philly game, and then going back to the Knicks game, you're going to have to deal with those kind of nights. You just don't want them to happen more often than not. And that's kind of where you're sitting at this point.
I think we look at them differently, you know, in the 4 years that we talked about leading up to the championship. Those types of games happen, and you're just like, it almost destroys you. Now it happens, and you're like, all right, that's kind of just an off night. And we know this team's going to turn it on when they face top-tier opponents. We know how Jokic is. You know, he doesn't show it a lot, but he plays with such energy against these types of teams. We know what Murray's going to do. They're going to turn it on when they need to. And it's so fun to watch. When they're in their rhythm, when Gordon's dunking, when KCP's blocking, when MPJ hits his threes, like, this team is so fun.
Yeah, I mean, every loss is magnified now because it doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. So they lost 4 games in January. They've got one more game in January, and that is at OKC tomorrow, which is a significant basketball game because OKC's right below the Nuggets. And you can get a little revenge, too. But every loss is magnified when you're a great team. And they lost, again, we'll see what happens tomorrow night, but as of right now, 4 losses in the month of January. This is the mark of a team that is serious about repeating. They are going to have their weird nights. But that's why it feels that way. Angel, when they lost to the Knicks, it felt like they lost 4 games. Then you look at the schedule and you're like, wait, before that game, you had a 3-game winning streak, and then you lost to Philly in a close one, and then you had 2 game wins in a row, and then you lost to Utah, and then you had a win, and you lost to Orlando. Outside of that, they didn't lose a lot. But that's the mark of a great team. Every loss feels like, because they expect it, you expect it now as a fan, you feel their frustration, you feel that frustration because you are expecting greatness from this team on a nightly basis. So they've arrived at that point.
You got to admire the way that they bounce back. You know, that Knicks loss was tough, and then you come back with 2 big wins against Philly and Milwaukee, and now you're going into an OKC game where it's, you know, I know it's still lots of season left, but it's possibly at least for the number 2 seed. And then it's just Minnesota ahead of you.
Yeah, well, didn't Malone say something like it's a 4-team race right now? I mean, basically, you look at it, it's Minnesota 7-3 in their last 10. It's the Nuggets 7-3 in their last 10. The Thunder are 6-4 in their last 10. And the Clippers are healthy right now, and they're 8-2 in their last 10. So it's those 4 teams. The Kings have kind of dropped off a little bit, but they're still right there. Phoenix has been good their last 10 games, but every time I watch Phoenix, and I do watch a lot because they're on national television a lot, they don't look it, man.
All I see is Devin Booker scoring a ton of points.
And then I see just guys throwing up crazy shots, you know, individual basketball, ISO, that kind of thing. Every time I've tuned in to watch Phoenix, that's what I see. So I can only believe what my eyes are telling me, but they are 27-20. So they're in the mix there. The Mavericks have fallen off. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They're in the play-in right now. Got to be frustrating for Luka.
But losing.
When you see games like that from Jamal, though, do you second guess your idea that you would be good with the Luka and Joker if it did cost you Jamal and MPJ?
Jamal's going to give you 35 every 3 out of 5 games.
Probably.
Luka's going to give you 35 every game.
Probably. Yeah.
He reminds me of Damian Lillard 4 or 5 years ago when he was putting up 35, 40 points every other night. And he just has that kind of ability to score at a high level.
Well, and the other thing with Luka, you know, it's not just the scoring that he does out there. I mean, he's a guy that's averaging 10 assists a game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like some people think when they see a guy average 35 points without watching the actual games, they just think NBA superstars are ball hogs and that's all they're doing is scoring. That is not Luka's game. He's European, like what we see with Joker.
No, he's got good fundamentals. He's very solid on defense as well. That I don't know if he gets enough credit for that. He's a physical type of player. He's got the right attitude for it. He would just fit with this system right now.
It's hard to do that though on a night like last night.
It is even for me. Jamal Murray. I love MPJ. They got their rings. I'm happy. But if we had to move on to upgrade this team, Luka is the obvious choice.
The Nuggets made 4 3-pointers last night and
won. Yeah, they should have won this game by 30.
They should have won. Well, I tweeted it out before the game. I felt because the spread was 3.5, Nuggets favor. And I said, the Nuggets are going to win this thing with relative ease. Maybe not quite relative ease, but I didn't feel like the game was in jeopardy with about 5 minutes left in the game. That would be relative ease.
I think the only part I got majorly concerned was Aaron Gordon picking up 3 fouls in like 2 minutes.
And then he did foul out.
He fouled out, but it was with, you know, a block.
A key block, and that almost ended the game.
Mm-hmm.
So Gordon waving off to the fans. All right, so we got to talk about this. Joker, if we get the audio here, he's talking about Giannis, and he kind of just – he's asked a quick question about Giannis. He takes a little extra time to go into what he appreciates most about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Here is Nikola Jokic on his counterpart in Milwaukee.
What makes competing against Giannis enjoyable?
I mean, he's, of course, freak of nature, and he's so dominant. But he's reading the game, and he's – He's trying to make a right play, so it's just interesting to see even him growing. You know.
What stood out to you about the defense tonight, in particular from KCP and Peyton Watson got a lot of defensive minutes tonight?
I mean, yes, they have a great team, of course. They have a perfect fit for the play style they have. We just needed to make harder than, you know. So I think the third quarter was really good for us. They scored 19 points. That was something that we show ourselves that we can make stops. And I think in the fourth quarter it was a good defense. At the end, of course, there is some slippage, but I think overall it was a good. They scored 107 points. I think it's good, especially the team how they're playing and what they average. So I think that was important for us.
Nikola, Michael Malone records his 4th win as a Nugget. What does that mean to you guys to get him that win?
It's nice. I gotta be close to it. I just like to enjoy in the growth and every year we're getting better every year. It's an upgrade for us, and it's just I'm happy to be a part of that journey for him with him. And I think we made such a nice impact in this organization in the city.
There's Joker kind of talking about a little bit of everything, but at the beginning of this press conference, which is where the meat was, if you couldn't really hear it, who's coughing at this thing? Who's coughing in there?
Well, they were caught off guard because he showed up early for media.
Right, and he wanted to get after it too. Like he did, he said, I think on Giannis, he said, I think he's a great competitor. He wants to win every game. He's playing with such a force, with such power. I want to say he really wants to win every game. I think that's what makes him good, great, actually, every game. Whenever we play back in Europe, national teams here, all-star, he wants to win every game. He said every game like 400 times. Was that a knock? Was that a dig at Joel Embiid? Or was that just an isolated incident where, not incident, but Joker's just commenting on the fact that he's like him. They want to win. They want to be out there every single night. You're going to have to tell them to not play.
Maybe a little bit. It's hard for us to tell sometimes when Jokic is taking a dig at somebody because he doesn't do it very often or very outwardly. But just given the recent, just the last couple of days with Embiid, he was out last night again in a game. Does that have to do with the NBA looking into his health status? He's down to, I think he can only miss 5 more games before he's ruled ineligible for the MVP award. The odds have switched to Jokic as of this morning for the MVP. It's a big conversation in the NBA, not just with Embiid and Jokic and Giannis, but having these guys play more games, not doing the load management as much. I think I've seen LeBron's played a lot more games this season than he has before, so certainly interesting, but I think it speaks more to just his competitiveness. Like, he wants to play every game.
Yeah, well, and this is why I went off on the Rachel Nichols thing the other day because, she's like, I get the load management thing, but This is not how to do it. This is not like making an example of Joel Embiid if they're investigating this and if he's not going to be in contention to win an MVP. This is not the way to do it. Angel, when are you going to do it? You have to do it when your biggest stars are picking and choosing when they're going to play basketball. And that's not the way this is supposed to be designed. If it's an epidemic and you really want to fix this thing, then you have to reduce the games. If you have enough players complaining or whatever, but you shouldn't be. Because we're seeing everybody else do it. The other stars are playing all the time.
Well, I think there's more frustration with the way that the NBA goes about reporting injuries. In the NFL, if you have to go into treatment to get a calf massage because your calf was a little tight that morning, okay, you're going to be listed on the injury report that week, and we'll follow your progress throughout the week. The NBA, it's 15 minutes before a game, you warmed up, you didn't feel good, okay, you're out.
Yeah.
I know you're going to bring in the betting side of it because, I bet money on this. But, yeah, that's a part of it. But also, with Embiid's case, there's a narrative about him versus Jokic. They hyped up rivalry week, this rivalry game between these two teams, completely separate conferences, don't play each other a ton. But it's a big deal because they're the two current former MVPs.
Well, yeah, and people are going to look at tickets, and when they're building their schedule up, and they're like, I want to go to this game, I want to go to this game. Maybe they can only go to a couple games a year. And you go, I want to see the Sixers. Although that's a risk on your own part. You probably shouldn't do that if you know the Sixers are coming to town. There is a darn good chance Joel Embiid's not playing in it. But still.
Like for me, if I was going to, I want to go see them play the Spurs. Because yeah. I just want to go see Wemby.
Yeah.
And there's a good chance Wemby's going to play in that game.
Yeah, but if you bought tickets, you go down there. I mean, yeah, you're still going to see the world champs, but that's the reason why you chose that game specifically, because you're getting the world champs plus you're getting Wemby. You know, like in that game against Philadelphia the other day, you had Maxey out and you had Embiid out. So
I'm not going to see Patrick Beverley.
No, you're not. Or Marcus Morris, for that matter.
Really, I just need to go and see the banner. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, that would be. Was it not? Yeah, it wasn't hung up there when we went in for media day. Well, next year, if we don't make it to a game this year, although I am going to a game, I'm going to the Phoenix game coming up in March. So
I know they play the Spurs in February. I would love to get to that game.
Yeah, that would be cool. That'd be cool. Big Hub says, why does Joel deserve any conversation or all that money just for him to always be hurt? Our former GOATs and MVPs were never like this. It's true, and it's like, if somebody's hurt, he's hurt. I'm not going to be like, get it, you know, rub some spit and dirt on it, but whatever. But Joel Embiid, let's face it, Angel, his mindset is not the same mindset as Nikola Jokic's. That doesn't mean he doesn't work out hard, train hard, but what did he say last year? It was him and Giannis, honestly, right? Talking about winning a championship's not the end-all be-all. Like, that's what it's about. That's what this league, that's what these leagues are designed for, to win a championship.
Has Giannis's, likability fallen off in the last few years?
I don't think people loved what he had to say when they got eliminated from the playoffs. Because he was asked if he considered it a failed season, and he's like, no, the championship's not the end-all be-all. Yeah, it is.
Well, they've had three coaches in the last 2 years.
True, yeah. But like, Giannis, you're not a failure. You're the Greek freak, man. You're a millionaire basketball player. You're living the life. But in terms of what we talk about in our fantasy world of sports, it is about a championship. And if it ain't for you, it's for the fans. That's what it is about. And it should be about you. Like, Joker, that's what you're doing this for. Why else? Why not go race horses if you're not about winning a championship? That's what this thing's about, man. 34 minutes after the hour. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly real quick. We will do that. The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good is congratulations to Michael Malone. Win number 400 as a Denver Nuggets head coach. He is 33 wins away from passing up another all-time Nugget in Doug Moe at 432. So he'd need 33 to pass that up. The bad for me, did you see the Tucker Kelsey Mahomes thing? Like that fight that was not really a fight, but it kind of was. Tucker's trying to kick warm-up kicks and all that stuff before the game starts. And you had Chiefs tight end Travis Kelsey and Patrick Mahomes not liking that he was stretching and practicing so close to where they were warming up. So Mahomes is twice tossing Tucker's kicking tee aside. Kelsey's kicking some of Tucker's footballs off the sideline. Then he flings Tucker's helmet off the field. Tucker said, I thought it was all some gamesmanship, all in good fun, but it seemed to be taken a little more seriously. I'm totally willing to let it go.
is the issue with warming up on the football field?
Did they, is this the primetime recipe now?
Is the field not big enough to everyone to warm up?
And it's like in Baltimore, it's in your, I mean, you have to give them their space to warm up and work out and stuff.
Like, but for kickers, I get, you want to probably practice on both field goals, get a feel for each direction.
Yeah.
But Travis, how much space do you need to warm up?
Right. You don't need that much space, man. The ugly, just the fact that I'm asking this, this is our poll question of the day. Is it must win time for the Rams? I would say it's ugly that we're even asking that question on January 30th because the Rams were soaring and flying high. And now we're to the point where you lose at home tonight to San Diego State, which is very possible. Your dancing hopes might be tarnished. You'd have to go on a hell of a streak after that. This is a big one tonight. 36 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out, get a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Stay up to speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Did I hear Miles say on Good Morning NoCo that it's Phil Collins' birthday?
It is.
Just let that go for a second. Just let that breathe, man. Man. They don't do it like this anymore. Just let it kind of breathe. Falling for her. How can you not hear that song and, or how can you hear that song and not just fall in love with that song?
So good.
Or Phil Collins, for that matter.
Great. You ever seen Tarzan?
Oh, Phil Collins. Tarzan, Genesis, Phil Collins, man. Big Phil Collins guy. All right, I just have to vent for a second here, okay? Everyone's after Lamar Jackson, and I'm not defending him from that game. He didn't have a great game. But Angel, explain this to me. Explain it to me like I'm 5 years old. You're the number one rushing team in the NFL coming into the playoffs. You ran for 2,600 yards and 26 touchdowns. You averaged 32 carries per game. 32 per game. You ran the ball 32 times a game. How are you going to get out of the game when it was never more than a 10-point game? Never more than that. And it was never like 10 points with 30 seconds. You know, you had plenty of time to run. How are you going to get out of a game like that and run 11 times?
Run the ball. Run the ball. CT, it's triggered.
Run the ball, Rich. Rich has got it, man. Run the football. So we want to blame Lamar Jackson. And, oh, Lamar wasn't ready for the moment. I keep seeing that garbage on Twitter from guys that I respect. Lamar wasn't ready for the moment. It's like, come on, educate yourself. Watch the game. What you do best, you weren't doing best. You weren't even trying, which sets up everything else. You weren't running the football.
I can hear that Lamar wasn't ready for the moment. Lamar shouldn't have been in the moment if you were running the football.
Exactly. You don't... What are we talking about here?
Yeah, it's, hey, the entire game's on your shoulders, quarterback. Go make us a play. Well, why are we in this situation? Why didn't we run the ball more?
Lamar Jackson is a quarterback that does fit. I'm not saying he's a system quarterback, but yes, you have to work things in an interesting way for him to be at his absolute best, which is what 90% of quarterbacks are about, which NFL teams are about. You take a quarterback and you find their strengths and you work around it. That was their strength. Yet you ran 11 times. I was disgusted by that. Didn't get a chance to go into it in full detail yesterday, but just disgusted.
No, I mean, you see what the Lions do with their running backs. They did it in the first half, couldn't do it in the second half.
Yeah, do what got you there. And again, like people would say, well, Dan Campbell, what got him there was going for it on fourth down. Right, but to make it a one-score game, kick a field goal. Like, come on, there's logic. You can't run the ball if you're down 20 and there's 8 minutes left. You
right,
got to
like,
throw.
I don't like when you... Yes, the quarterback's the most important position, and he has to be able to make plays in the clutch in the fourth quarter, but it's also on the 10 other guys that are on the field with him that that have to be able to make the plays as well. Receivers got to catch. Running backs have to find the hole. Offensive linemen have to make the hole.
Dixon says, I'll explain it. Chiefs D is bad blank. Controlled the run, and Spagnuolo called a hell of a game. They made them throw, which was brilliant because that's the weakest part of his game and why he isn't that electric. Give Chiefs D some credit. Dude, no, I'm not. I'm not going to give you credit on that. You know why? Because they ran it 8 times with running backs. They ran it 8 times with running backs, whether it worked or didn't work in the first quarter of games. So they didn't even try. You didn't stop them. They ran it 8 times. I mean, come on. You didn't stop them. You stopped them 8 times. But that, like, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Chiefs' rush defense. Now, I'll give you their pass defense is absolutely on fire. Kansas City shuts that down. So I'll give you that one. But you're going to tell me that they stopped them all game when they ran it 8 times with running backs, designed running back runs? No. Eight. Excuse me. I'm off on that, Angel. 3, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, okay, I was right. Never mind. 8 times. Gus Edwards touched the ball as a ball carrier 3 times. We got to take a break. 45 minutes after the hour. Now I'm hot. You didn't stop him. Gus Edwards ran the ball 3 times for 20 yards. He averaged 6.7 yards per carry. What are we doing here, Harbaugh? My goodness, I would be having conversations with that man today. You cost the most electrifying man a chance at the Super Bowl. We'll be right back.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Sorry, man. You got to at least give him a chance. Dixon's saying, and he got nothing. Dude, okay, if you're a running back, and I'm going to give you 3 carries, and you give me 1 gain of 15 yards, and then 2 gains of like 3 yards... Is that enough to deter you from running the ball the rest of the game? I mean, he averaged 6.7 yards per carry, and I get it. He had 1 15-yard run, but then you just shut her down after that? Kansas City controlled the clock. I'll give you that. They had the time of possession in that first half. It was certainly that belonged to the Kansas City Chiefs. But you didn't even give yourself a chance to stay within your game plan. You got out of it so quickly. Am I taking anything away from Kansas City? I picked them to go to the AFC Championship. I think that they have a tremendous pass defense. But you can't tell me that that defense is that good where Baltimore was scared to death after 8 carries. I can't, and 2 of those carries for Gus Edwards came in the second half. Now, again, a lot of that, if you want to credit anybody, you credit Kansas City's offense. 37 minutes and 30 seconds of possession compared to Baltimore's 22 and 30. Oh, that might actually have something to do with running the ball, too. I don't know. Just a thought. Before we break here, I want to thank one of our excellent sponsors. That's On the Rocks Liquor. We've got our game beer of the week from New Belgium. It's a Mountain Time Lager at On the Rocks Liquor. The best liquor store around. They're located south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Check out our game beer of the week that's On the Rocks. Liquor, make your next celebration on the rocks. Let's take a quick break. Poll question of the day. Is it must win tonight for CSU? When I say must win, that means you win, your March Madness chances are alive. You lose, they are dead. Thoughts? We'll be right back.
Football season is over. But college basketball is heating up. Hear UNC Bears hoops and Westwood One's coverage of college basketball on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, calm down. It's over. San Francisco and Kansas City are in it. I just don't like the narrative. You know, you get frustrated with it when it's like, Miami loses, it's all Tua, get rid of him. And listen, I'm a fan of Lamar. I'm not a Baltimore Ravens fan. I'm a fan of Lamar. That's not my team, though. if the Broncos are playing the Baltimore Ravens in a meaningful game. Broncos are going to win that thing. At least I'm going to be rooting for that to happen. But if the Broncos are out of the playoffs, then yeah, I'm gonna pick somebody to root for. And I've always been a Lamar Jackson fan. I'm a fan of his style of play.
Well, I mean, we talked about how, like, I think it was last week or earlier this week, about the narrative shifts so quickly from it's the head coach's fault or the defense. It's very rarely the defense just didn't do their job, because that's, you know, defense gives up points. Offense, it's not the offense that bad. It's just the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So let's get rid of him find somebody else that can do it.
We talked about it yesterday. It's funny how we pick and choose the narrative around who can't get over the hump. Is it the coach? Is it the quarterback? Is it the defense? Is it the coordinators? Is it the GM? Dixon Brady, if you're honest, you have to admit throwing the ball is the weakest part of Mr. Electric's game. Well, everyone's got to have a weakness. You know? Russell Wilson's is thrown over the middle. Doesn't mean he's never done it before. He's never done it at a high level. He did it in Seattle. Is Lamar a better runner than he is a thrower? Sure, I can admit that, but he is actually a pretty good thrower. He's not as bad as a lot of people are leading you to believe. If you just sit and watch those games. Now, again, Sunday's game was a bad example. He wasn't at his best, but he can hit those critical throws. 11:57 the time. Top story of the day. Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.